this one was birthed about 6 weeks ago. And I actually tried it out for the first time when I preached it in Ghana. And I'm not expecting the same reaction here today. Because it's Scotland, James. But that statement, swinging from the rafters, was kind of close. This is one of the oldest stories ever recorded. And it goes a little bit like this. Okay. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there lived two brothers. And the elder brother, he was a farmer. And the younger brother, well, he was a shepherd. And on one fateful day, both decided to bring their offering to the Lord. And the younger brother's offering was acceptable, and that was pleasing to the Lord. But the Lord rejected the elder brother's offering. And the elder brother seethed with anger and became jealous. And the word says he murdered his younger brother in the field. Now, as far as fairy tales go, that's not how they're supposed to end up. This story we have read, you will know it. It doesn't have a happy ending. Why? Because it's not a fairy tale. Listen to me. We know it's the true story of Cain and Abel found in Genesis chapter 4. And most of us, we are incredibly familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. But often, listen now, we often miss the significance of what takes place next. And Cain, after Cain, the elder brother, murders Abel, Scripture tells us that God punishes Cain for his crime or for his sin. Let me read this from Genesis chapter 4. The Lord said, "What have you done?" Now, I'll be honest with you. The Lord said that to me a couple of times. What have you done? "Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you're under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you." Listen to this. "You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Glory to God. "Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.'" Listen to this. If you read that properly, you will discover that Abel's blood, his brother's blood, had the last word in his life. And from this point on, Cain would always live in the shadow of fear, live in desperate hopelessness and condemnation as a direct result of the sin that he committed against his brother and God. Worst of all for me, Scripture says, he was driven from the very presence of God himself. And God forbid that we ever experience what Cain experienced. To almost discover or find yourself in a place of awareness that from this point on your life is completely hopeless. It's like, from now on I have nothing to live for. I want us to see something in here. It's imperative we see this. Cain was cursed. but I was cursed also. And we were cursed also. Listen, because of my sin and because of your sin, we were born under a curse. Scripture tells us that is the curse of death. Paul states it in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And like Cain, because of our sin, we are forever cursed to live in the valley of the shadow of death, and with it fear and hopelessness and separation from the very, very presence of God. Church, the curse of death had the last word over my life and over my destiny. That is, are you listening? No, you're not. That is until the person, Jesus Christ, arrived. Aren't you glad there's always a that was then and this is now to a certain degree? You see, when Jesus came, praise God, by his shed blood on the cross, he reconciled you and I back to Abba. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but when we understand the news, we can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief. Hallelujah. Why? Because hope was all of a sudden restored directly to humanity. And we had a hope again. See, this morning we're singing it all day. Jesus died on the cross to set you and I free from the curse of death. Amen. Praise God. Jesus took the curse of death upon himself. Why? So that you and I wouldn't have to. Praise God. Paul states in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Wow! For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Glory to God. You see, as a result of Jesus' redeeming work on the cross, we are actually told in Hebrews chapter 12 that we have to come to God, the judge of all, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Hallelujah. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm feeling good now. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Death and sin no longer have the last word over your life. Come on. Hallelujah. Stop shouting. Why do they no longer have the last word? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus' word or Jesus' blood speaks a far better word over my life and over your life. That's what I came down to say today. I was struggling all week, but I was determined to be here. You see, while Abel's blood, listen to this now, while Abel's blood spoke fear and hopelessness and condemnation over Cain's life, Jesus' blood, hallelujah, now speaks life and confidence and hope and victory over your life directly. His blood is speaking a better word over the church today and over the people of God, hallelujah. Let me tell you something about confidence. I'm just going to testify now. As a wee boy growing up, I lacked confidence. Now, a lot of this happened through the chalk school life. We didn't have a particularly happy school life because we were brought up in a Christian family and all that came with that. And I struggled through school and education, and I wasn't talented, and I wasn't charismatic, and some would say, you're still not. But listen to me. I struggled to believe in myself. I struggled desperately with confidence. I'm saying this because God told me to say this for somebody in the room today, okay? But what happened as I developed and grew and understand that Jesus loves me and understand his blood covers me and understand the shed blood of Jesus, many, many years ago, I understood something. It wasn't my confidence. It was called God confidence. And in my life, God instilled God confidence in my life to give me the ability to love the sheep, to do what I do, to do what I'm called to do. So it's not about how much you know, how talented you are, how intellectual you are, and all that comes with that. It's about surrendering everything to God and saying, God, I can't do that, but you and me can make me do it. And maybe someone just needed to hear that today. Listen, I've come down because I've got a better word. How many people in the church this morning are desperate to hear a much better word than you've been hearing? And I'm not talking about Pastor Debbie and Danny's sermons. I'm saying I'm better than them. They know I am. That's tongue in cheek. Don't take it literally and send me a text later on. It's fine. They know they're loved and I think they're much better. Here's a better word. Here's a better word. John 10:10 is a better word. Now, I'm going to say something here to you. See if John 10:10, see if all it says was, I have come. I'd be there. Lo, I am with you. I have arrived. I've shown up. I've come down. I'm here from heaven on earth. If the first three words were all John 10:10 was, I'd be delighted that he's come, that he's here to save my soul. But it said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm feeling quite Ghanaian this morning. Listen to this. Jesus Christ did not only come to speak a better word over your destiny. Yes, he came so that you and I might have eternal life with him in heaven. But he also came to speak a better word of life over your life in the here and now. Praise God. The better word that the blood of Jesus speaks over you is truth. And this truth will set you free. And his truth is the final word. So if you're listening to any other word, it's not the final word. It's another word. It's another voice. It is his voice and his word and his truth that we need to be tapping into as we go through life's journey. So I wonder today in my thought process was this. I wonder, have we allowed ourselves, because we do, or others, to speak a word over our lives, over you, as we battle perhaps with anxiety, or battle with depression, or battle with some form of addiction or illness, telling you that there is actually no hope? Because these words are spoke over people's lives frequently. Frequently. Satan is the deceiver and he is the liar, and he will say things and speak things over you. He will use individuals to do it. He will speak them over your life, and at times, because we're sometimes vulnerable and confused, we'll believe it. But he is the liar. And it's Jesus' word and truth that will release you and set you free from the lies that he has spoken over your life. So here's the thing. Hallelujah. See my Jesus. You can have him too. But this morning he's mine. See my Jesus. My Jesus. His blood speaks a better word over me. And I just receive it now. Whatever that word, I just receive it. Let me tell you this. Here's what Revelation 12:11 says. They triumphed over him. That is the accuser. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, or his testimony. Let me declare, and let me prophesy in part. Jesus' blood speaks hope over you, guaranteeing you overwhelming success and overwhelming victory, even in the midst of your battle. Praise God. Praise God. I want to say cling to that word. Cling to that word. Hold on to that truth. Because that is for someone in this sanctuary today. I wonder, can I go on a little bit further here? Let me say this. Does the accuser of your soul speak a word over your past? Oh, yes, he does. Does he speak a word over your past, telling you that you could never, ever be used by God and racking you with shame and guilt and regret? Let me tell you, see that? Jesus' blood speaks a better word over that. He speaks a better word over that. I'll tell you, in fact, what the better word is. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says it so eloquently. But now, hallelujah, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by what? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ. He's bringing us in. He's drawing us in. Church, Jesus' blood speaks total forgiveness and total acceptance over you, forever redeeming you and I from all of our mistakes. I want someone to cling to that word in the same way that you cling to the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Let me go on. Does death, such a fear of death, does death speak a word over your identity? Does death speak a word over your life, over your identity, telling you this morning that you're unwanted, unseen, and unloved? I'll tell you the truth. His blood is speaking a better word over you today. It's speaking a word over your life. And I'll tell you what that word is from Ephesians. Paul again, in him. Everyone say, in him. Amen. That's where you need to be. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit speak again this morning. Hallelujah. Let me almost prophesy in part that Jesus' blood speaks love over you. His blood is speaking love over you, telling you that you are so incredibly beautiful and precious, and that he is prepared and has already proven to go to great lengths to bring you near to him again. Someone needs to hear that and cling to that. I wonder, who is God speaking to? Well, he's speaking to every single person who'd have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. But here's another thought this morning. Does death speak a word of condemnation over you, causing you to fear that God is never, ever, ever going to be pleased with you, no matter what you do and no matter what you do to serve him? I'm going to repeat myself over that word. His blood speaks a better word. His blood speaks a better word. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Church, this morning, Jesus' blood speaks confidence over you today, assuring you right now and in this moment that you can freely approach God without fear. Why? Because God's grace, not your works, is what matters. Someone needs to hold that word and cling to that word. So you and I, we have a choice to make in all of this. Glory to God. Ultimately, we get to choose whether or not we are willing to align our thinking with Christ's better word, which is the truth of God. That's the choice. You see, as a Christian or as believers, you know that you've been saved and granted eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. However, in here, we can still live, and many do, we can still live with an under the curse of death mentality. Oh. We can live with an under the curse of death mentality right now here in the present. We can choose to live under Christ's better word, which speaks forgiveness, hallelujah, over your past. Or we can choose to live under death's final word, which speaks condemnation and regret over your past. Church, you can choose to live under Christ's better word, which speaks victory, hallelujah, over every single one of your struggles, or you can choose to live under death's last word, which speaks hopelessness over your struggles. And I wonder today, in what areas of my life and your life are we allowing death's word to reign? God help us. You see, the curse of death no longer has any power over your life as it did Cain's, unless you allow it to. In order to allow Jesus' better word to reign now in your life, what must happen? We must surrender. Hallelujah. We must surrender. We must humbly choose today to strip off our old beliefs, our old bad habits and emotions, and instead choose to clothe yourself with God's truth about you, which is His better word. His better word. I wonder, are you going to surrender your life today to the better word that Jesus' blood speaks over your life today? I want to say this, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. As you align right now, you're thinking with Christ's better word. Your life, as you do that, I'll tell you the truth, your life will begin to change. Your life will begin to alter. Today, allow the better word that Jesus' blood speaks to reign over your identity, to reign over your past, over your battles, over your life. Declare its truth and now walk in it. Hallelujah. See, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we have all of this and heaven besides. Praise God. Hallelujah. In your own life, how have you testified to what the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished? How have you spoken it out loud and declared with joy the benefits that He has won for you? Listen to this. Even when you proclaim it in the privacy of your prayer time, the enemy gets blinded with the glory of heaven. Hallelujah. And all praise and honor and worship to the Lamb of God for what He has done on the cross. Church, the blood of Christ still avails for you and I right now in 2024. Would you stand with me today? It's an encouragement. We're going to get a little bit deeper next week, but just stand with me. I want to pray and proclaim this prayer about the power of Christ's blood, which actually comes from Derek Prince, so you may have heard it. May you pray this for yourself and pray it for others. And as we are praying this prayer, if any of those better words have been for you today, we would love to pray for you. My job's done here. It's now the work of the Holy Spirit. We'd love to pray for you. If there's something that's been spoken over your life and you've embraced that or accepted that, we want to pray the better word that His blood brings over your life. And don't worry if there's not a response or nothing at all. That's absolutely fine. You can receive it where you are. But if you want prayer as we worship God in our next song, you can just step out from where you are and we'll come. We won't pray over you long. We'll just pray over you real quickly, bless you and release you to get back to your seat in Jesus' name. Simple as that. But there's been a lot said today in a short time that has great significance for you and I. So many people are living with a negative word on their lives. A bad word, a wrong word, a critical word. And they're walking it out, even as believers. And He is saying, my blood is speaking a better word. Let me pray. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God. My body is a temple, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Satan has no place in me, amen. He has no power over me, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you came down. And Jesus, we thank you for the cross. And Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be bruised and broken for us. And Jesus, we thank you that you allowed every drop of blood to flow out of your beautiful body. And this morning, Lord, 2,000 years later, your blood is still speaking a better word. A better word. I'm leaving you with that. There's a better word for you today through his blood. And we spoke about confidence and hopelessness and many other aspects of fear of death, and it goes on. But maybe if one of those words of negativity has been a little bit planted in your life, let us speak the better word that the blood brings over you today. So we won't wait long. We're going to do this beautiful song. It's your blood that cleanses me. And as we sing this morning, you're going to stay where you are, open your hands, open your heart.